Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to ask my colleagues to please take their seats. We have a lot of business to take care of this evening. At this time, I'd like to recognize my colleague, Alderman Linsky, who will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, Mr. President. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, folks. Good evening. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Newton Board of Aldermen for Tuesday, January 17, 2012. I would like to ask my colleagues who are to my left, we do have the public meeting for the MBTA that's still going on. So to the best of our ability, if we could help folks get through here that need to get some access, that would be great. Much appreciated. Couple items of business. We do have the copies. There is a copy of the appraisal for the Austin Street parking lot that is on everyone's desk this evening. That was provided to us just this afternoon, so that is on your desk. And there is also an invitation to the next Community Preservation Birthday event. That is also on our desks here tonight. Just want to make everyone aware that this meeting is being both audio and video recorded. And with those announcements, I will now recognize the Chairman of the Land Use Committee, Alderman Hesperhan, to start our first call of reports.
Thank you and good evening, Mr. President. The report of the Land Use Committee begins on page 7 of the reports docket for this evening. Petition number 388-11, Cuisina Inc., DTS Trust. That's not ready for tonight. The hearing was closed on that. Moving down the page to petition number 414-11, David and Renee Sauthier, John F. Neville, petition for special permit site plan approval to extend a non-conforming structure to convert two existing rear porches into livable space, which will increase the floor area ratio to 0.58, where 0.50 is allowed by right, at 39 and 41 Clarendon Street, Ward 2, Newtonville, on land known as SBL 22119, containing approximately 11,130 square feet of land in District Zone Multi-Residence 1. Public hearing was held and closed on that item, and the petition was approved by and recommended for approval by the Land Use Committee by a vote of 7-0. Continuing on page 8 of the report's docket this evening, petition number 415-11, Lori A. Meads Bells and Edward D. Bells, petition for a special permit site plan approval to convert an existing porch into a study/office space, which will increase the floor area ratio to 0.54, where 0.40 is allowed by right, at 14 Loring Street, Ward 7, Newton Center, on land known as SBL 733010, containing approximately 8,500 square feet of land in a district zone single residence 2. Public hearing was held and closed on that petition, and the Land Use Committee recommended approval by a vote of 7-0. Proceeding on down the page, we have 2012 auto renewals. I'm going to go through the Class 1 licenses, and I'm just going to read the docket numbers and the names. Number 298-11, Bay State Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Number 299-11, Clay Nissan of Newton, Inc. Number 300-11, Village Motors Group, Inc., doing business as Honda Village. All three of those were approved by a vote of 7-0. Moving on to the Class 2 licenses, dealership renewals. Number 307-11, Jacob & Associates. Number 308-11, L.A. Auto Body, Inc. Number 312-11, Newton Auto Group, Inc. Continuing on to page 9, number 317-11, RS Service, Inc. Number 318-11, Regans, Inc. Number 320-11, the Travis Corporation, doing business as the Car Store. Number 322-11, Washington Street, Sunoco. And number number 323-11, the City of Newton, all approved by a vote of 7-0. The Class 2 and 3 auto renewals, we have items number 324-11, Echo Bridge Salvage, Inc., number 325-11, Schiavone Brothers, Inc., number 326-11, Toadies Services, Inc., all three of which were approved by a vote of 7-0. Finally, on page 10 of the report's docket, we have item number 106-07, parens 5, President Lennon, appointing the following individuals as Board of Aldermen appointees to the six-person neighborhood council established in Condition 20 of Special Permit number 106-07, granted to Beth Menachem Chabad on October 1, 2007, for waivers of parking requirements associated with a religious institution at 349 Dedham Street, Ward 8. A. Elise Friedman, 370 Dedham Street. B. David Yu, 22 Rachel Road. And C. Alderman Mitchell Fishman, Alderman at Large, Ward 8. And that item, A, B, and C, were all approved by a vote of 7-0. And that completes the report of the Land Use Committee for this evening. However, I would like to be recognized and asked to be recognized to assign public hearings. Please go ahead. Thank you, Mr. President. Beginning on page 16 of the docket for this evening, public hearings to be assigned for February 14, 2012. We have petition number 9-12, Karash Mizrahi, petition for special permit site plan approval to locate an accessory apartment in an existing detached structure and to waive the required screening for the associated parking at 1099 Walnut Street, Ward 6, Newton Highlands, on land known as SBL 52911, containing approximately 13,816 square feet of land in District Zone Single Residence 2. Petition number 10-12, DT Arco LLC and Iraqi Realty Trust, petition for special permit site plan approval to relocate an existing two-family dwelling and construct a new structure containing two additional attached dwelling units for a total of four attached dwellings in two structures at 37 Elm Street, West Newton, Ward 3, on land known as SBL 332320, containing approximately 25,000 square feet of land in a district zoned multi-residence 1. Continuing on to page 17, I would ask for a motion to suspend the rules in order to be able to poll my committee on the next item, which I can read into the record. It is 105-09, parens 4, Yan Ping Sun, request for an extension of time in which to exercise special permit petition number 105-09, parens 3, granted on December 6, 2010, for an accessory apartment in an existing single-family dwelling at 87 Woodridge Street, Ward 5, Newton Highlands. So I'd ask for a suspension of rules at this time.
Motion has been made. Is there a second? Motion has been made and second to suspend the rules for the chairman of Land Use Polls Committee. All those in favor of suspension of the rules will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I poll the committee at this time, Land Use Committee, on whether to hold and assign a public hearing on petition number 105-09, parens 4. All in favor? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in favor. None opposed. The motion is recommended for approval by a vote of 8-0, Mr. President. And this time I would ask to be recognized to sign it.
Please go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so I'm not going to read the whole thing again, just to say the petition number 105-09, parens 4, by Yan Ping Sun, is assigned for a public hearing to be held on February 14, 2012. And that's the report of Land Use Committee. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Next, we have the Zoning and Planning Committee, chaired by Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The committee report begins on page 10. Docket item 392-11, Tress LaFleche of 86 Prince Street, West Newton, appointed as an associate member of the Zoning Board of Appeals for a term to expire December 31st, 2012. This was approved 6-0. Docket item 390-11, William McLaughlin, 117 Hammond Street, Chestnut Hill, appointed as a member of the Zoning Board of Appeals for a term to expire on September 30th, 2012. No action necessary. And docket item 399-11, James Mitchell, 83 Countryside Road, Newton Center, reappointed as a member of the Zoning Board of Appeals for a term of office to expire December 31st, 2012. No action necessary. And they were all voted 6-0. So that is the end of the report. All other items held. However, we have a late filed item for which I would like a request of suspension of rules so it can be referred to Zoning and Planning.
There's been a motion made and seconded to suspend the rules to accept a late filed docket item for Zoning and Planning. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Go ahead, Madam Chair.
Okay, this is on page 17 of the new docket, 11-12, Alderman Hesmahan and Linsky requesting discussion on the implementation and enforcement of the provisions of Section 30-5C1 of the Newton Ordinances, which requires that whenever the existing contours of land are altered, the land shall be left in a usable condition, graded in a manner to prevent the erosion of soil and the alteration of the runoff of surface water to or from abutting properties. And that ends my report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Next, they have the Programs and Services Committee, chaired by Alderman Sangiolo.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 11. The first item is item number 474-08, parens 2. Alderman Hesmahan and Vance proposing that Article 10 of the Rules and Orders of the Board of Aldermen be amended to conform with the proposed amendment to Chapter 30 regarding the transfer of the Special Permit Granting Authority to the Zoning Board of Appeals and or the Planning and Development Board for projects that are not classified as major projects pursuant to Article 10. That was voted no action necessary by a vote of 5-1. The next item is item number 306-08, Alderman Baker, Danberg, Mansfield, and Parker, requesting discussion of how swimming at Crystal Lake might be lawfully and safely extended beyond mid-August. That was voted no action necessary by a vote of 6-0. The next item is item number 287-07, parens 2, Alderman Parker, requesting a discussion with Parks and Recreation Department in regards to an appropriate marker or plaque to honor and recognize Olympic figure skater and Newton resident Tenley Albright and her skating exhibition at the Crystal Lake upon her return from the 1956 Olympic Games, where she won a gold medal. That was voted no action necessary by a vote of 6-0. The final item is on second call.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you want to try to address that on first call, or do you want to just wait? Certainly.
The final item is item number 370-06. Alderman Sangiolo, Parker, and Mansfield requesting home rule legislation to allow advisory questions to be asked in the Newton special election. That was approved subject to second call by a vote of 3-0-3. The reason we put it on second call was because we wanted to get verification from the law department that we could ask for home rule legislation to be able to do this. They've given us their approval, so we can do that. So unless there's further objection, I'll report it out.
The letter was, the email was attached to the committee report.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. So we'll report that item out on first call if there is no objection. Okay. Next, I have the Public Safety and Transportation Committee, chaired by Alderman Ciccone.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins at the top of page 12. I have one item I have here this evening, 9-12. Traffic Council Chair provided the annual report on the work of the Traffic Council for 2011 pursuant to Section 19-30G of the City of Newton Revised Ordinances of 2007. That was voted no action necessary, 8-0. I'd also ask for a suspension of the rules this evening, Mr. President, for docket item number 15206 to substitute the public facilities report for the public safety report that was taken back in 2006.
Okay, there's been a motion to suspend the rules to clear up a conflicting report. Is there a second? Okay, the motion is made. Second, all those in favor say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You can poll your committee so that we can accept the vote of the current vote of the Public Facilities Committee.
Okay, Public Facilities voted this no action necessary. It's 152-06. The Public Safety and Transportation Committee requesting discussion regarding road classification design types as outlined by the Planning and Development Department for future use as an overall management tool for the city. From what I understand, there's more work being done with that, and the Traffic Advisory Committee is involved, and they've asked to have that redocketed through Public Facilities. I just wanted to poll my committee so we can take the same vote with Public Facilities. All those in favor of NAN? 8-0.
8-0. Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, next we have the Public Facilities Committee chaired by, well, giving the report this evening will be our Vice Chair, Alderman Deb Crossley.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 12 with item 380-11. His Honor, the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $485,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding masonry repairs at various schools. That was approved 7-0. Continues on page 13, item number 379-11. His Honor, the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $450,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding mechanical upgrades at various schools. Approved 6-0. Item 378-11, His Honor, the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $315,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding the emergency generator upgrades at two schools. And 377-11, again, His Honor, the Mayor asking for this time $200,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding electrical upgrades at various schools. It continues. Item 20808 is Alderman Gentile, Sangiello, Salvucci, and Schnipp are requesting a discussion on establishing a permanent building committee in the city of Newton. That was voted no action necessary as it was included in a different docket item. And item on page 14, the final item is 152-06. The PS&T committee requesting discussion regarding road classification design types as outlined by the Planning and Development Department for future use as an overall management tool for the city. And that was voted no action necessary by a vote of 6-0. And that's the end of the report.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. And just so that we're clear, item 208-08 that I know some members had an interest in, we did amend, as she had mentioned, item 253-07, parens F, you'll see on there, that will incorporate that particular item into that overall discussion. So just so that people are aware of that, okay? And also just did want to thank you for giving the report and recognize that our chairman is home this evening after having a very small eye procedure. He's doing well. So say hello to Alderman Salvucci. I'm sure he's watching and drop him a note to see how he's doing. I think he said he may be in committee tomorrow night, so that is why he is not here this evening. Okay, next we have the Finance Committee chaired by Alderman Gentile.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee report begins on page 14. The first item is 380-11, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $485,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding masonry repairs at various schools. This item was approved by a vote of 8-0. Next is docket item 379-11, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $450,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding mechanical upgrades at various schools. This item was approved by a vote of 8-0. 378-11, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $315,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding the emergency generator upgrades at various schools. This was approved by a vote of 8-0. And the final item to be reported out is 377-11. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $200,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding electrical upgrades in various schools. This item was approved by a vote of 8-0. I would move the report, and I would also ask for a suspension of the rules to admit two late file items, the first of which can be found on page 19. So again, I would ask for suspension of the rules.
Motion has been made and seconded to suspend the rules to accept two late filed docket items. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Could you just read those into the record, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, the first item is at top of page 19, docket item 38-10, parens 4. His Honor the Mayor requesting an appropriation in the amount of $44,624 from the Capital Stabilization Fund Fund Energy Conservation to supplement the fund for the envelope improvements at the Lower Falls Community Center. And then on page 20, the last item, 21-11, is Honor the Mayor requesting authorization in accordance with MGL Chapter 30B, Section 12, to permit the Newton Public Schools to solicit bids and enter into a five-year contract for school bus transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And finally, our Special Committee on Real Property Reuse. I'll recognize Alderman Albright. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no report.
Thank you very much. Okay. Is there any other business before the board on first call this evening? If not, at this time, I'd like to take a minute to recognize Alderman Brian Yates to please come up to the rostrum and please be joined by Alderman Amy Sangiolo. And they have a... He said that you and Alderman Sangiolo could handle the reading of the resolution for former Alderman Fay Cohen.
Okay. Many of you know Fay. Many of us wound up in this chamber. Because of Fay, Fay wound up in this chamber, but that was the least of her accomplishments. She put many of the candidates who did extremely well in Newton into office, or helped to. Memorial resolution in remembrance of Fay G. Cohen. Whereas the city of Newton was deeply saddened to learn of the death of Fay G. Cohen, a tireless community leader and longtime Newton resident who passed away on December 26, 2011 at the age of 82 and who was survived by her son Stephen Cohen and his wife Susan Reed. And whereas Fay G. Cohen was a proud graduate of Wellesley College and worked as an administrative assistant for Senator Lois Pines and Senator Cynthia Cream. And whereas Fay G. Cohen was a key figure in Newton politics, serving as a member of the Newton Democratic City Committee and a grassroots activist for a variety of causes, including several Newton mayoral campaigns, the congressional campaign of Robert Drynan, the gubernatorial campaign of Michael Dukakis, and on a number of Democratic presidential campaigns. And whereas Fay G. Cohen served the city of Newton as an alderman for one term, having been elected in 1995 as the ward alderman for Ward 8. And whereas Fay G. Cohen served for many years as a member of the Newton Election Commission and was honored at the State House for his service to the Commonwealth, and the Senate adjourned its session on January 3, 2012 in memory of Fay G. Cohen. Now, therefore, be it resolved that as the City of Newton bids a fond farewell to Fay G. Cohen, it is fitting and proper that the members of the Board of Aldermen, representing all the citizens of the City of Newton, mourn the death of this kind and caring woman who leaves behind a legacy of volunteerism for generations to come, and express their great pride and deepest gratitude for the life, works, and service to the City of Newton rendered by Fay G. Cohen, and be it further resolved that a copy of this memorial resolution be presented to her son, Stephen, and that this memorial resolution be made part of the permanent official records of the archives of the City of Newton. Memorial resolution offered the 17th day of January 2012 by Alderman Brian Yates and Amy Massangiolo on behalf of the Board of Aldermen. So we have a couple of several people who work closely with Fay here, and I hope they understand that we are sharing their grief at Fay's passing.
Thank you, and that will be entered into the first call of reports this evening. Excellent job. Thank you, Alderman Yates and Alderman Sangiolo. Okay, seeing no other business before the board this evening, I'm going to ask for a first call, the clerk to call the roll on the first call of reports.
Alderman Albright. Alderman Baker. Alderman Blazer.
Aye.
Alderman Ciccone.
Aye, with the exception of 324-11, 325-11, and 326-11, which I ask to be excused.
Alderman Crossley.
Aye.
Alderman Danberg.
Aye.
Alderman Fishman.
Aye.
Alderman Fuller.
Aye.
Alderman Gentile.
Aye.
Alderman Harney.
Aye.
Alderman Hesmahan.
Aye.
Alderman Johnson.
Aye.
Alderman Kalis.
Aye.
Alderman Lappin.
Aye.
Alderman Laredo.
Aye.
Alderman Linsky.
Aye.
Alderman Merrill.
Aye.
Alderman Rice.
Aye.
Alderman Salvucci. Alderman Sangiolo.
Aye.
Alderman Schwartz.
Aye.
Alderman Swinton.
Aye.
Alderman Yates.
Aye.
President Lennon?
Aye.
The vote is 23 yeas and one absent on all items except item 324-11, 325-11, and 326-11, where the vote is 22 yeas, one absent, and one excused.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. All items on first call carry. Okay, at this time, Alderman Fishman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was advised by the Chairman of Land Use that I need to recuse myself on item 106-07, paren 5, on page 10, because I'm mentioned as being appointed.
Can we make note of that, Mr. Clerk?
I have noted that and corrected the vote.
Great. The vote will now be corrected, and all items on first call still carry. Before she leaves, I just didn't want to recognize former State Senator Lois Pines as she is making her way out the back. Sorry we didn't recognize you earlier, Madam Senator. At this time, I would like to ask for a suspension of the rules to forego a recess so that we can ask the mayor to join us in the chamber to give his State of the City address. I will organize a delegation to go and get him. And as part of that suspension of the rules, I would also like to invite the members of our school committee who are here. I see the chair, Claire Sokoloff, Diana Fisher-Gomberg, Jonathan Yeo, Margie Ross-Dector, Steve Siegel, Angela Peter-Wright. Can I get everybody? Ask them all to please come inside the rail, as well as our other dignitaries. I noticed State Representative John Lawn and State Representative Kay Kahn and our Governor's Counselor, Marilyn Devaney. So do I have a suspension of the rules? So moved. Is there a second? All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. The rules have been suspended. I'd like to ask our colleagues in government to please join us inside the rail, if they would. Representative Lawn, Representative Kahn. If you'd like to join us inside the rail, take a seat up right here to my left. I'd ask the school committee to come here, and I'd like to ask Alderman Swiston, who would like to be the chair of our delegation, to go get the mayor, and she is going to be joined by Alderman Harney and Alderman Fishman. And why don't we have our school committee, Mr. Yeo, would you mind joining the delegation to go and get the mayor if we could? I'd also like to thank a number of our department heads this evening in the crowd. Thank you for being here. And I do see our former colleague, Alderman Shapiro, has joined us as well. Thank you, Alderman Shapiro, for being here. And I don't think I have anything else to say until the mayor gets here. No, it's a song. I don't have any jokes. I would not try to do that. And Alderman Salvucci is the only one that can do that. So my baby is doing fantastic. She's excellent. She will be 5 months in 2 weeks. So she's doing well. Thank you for asking, everyone. I appreciate that very much. So in just a minute, the mayor will be joining us for his annual State of the City address. And then when he is done, I actually invite everyone to stay so we could go over our remaining three items. I'm sure there will be fun-filled excitement, and I'd ask and invite everyone to stay. I do see the chairman of the delegation has joined us along with some special colleagues. At this time, I'd recognize Alderman Swiston.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to be with you. I want to recognize my colleagues in government who are here. State Representative Kay Kahn, State Representative John Lawn, Governor's Counselor Marilyn Devaney, President of Board of Aldermen Scott Lennon, Vice President Cheryl Lappin, members of the Honorable Board of Aldermen, Superintendent David Flashman, School Committee Chair Claire Sokoloff, School Committee Member Jonathan Yeo, School Committee Member Angela Pitter-Wright, School Committee Member Diana Fisher-Gomberg, School Committee Member Steve Siegel, School Committee Member Margie Ross-Decker. It's great to be with you. Thank you for your service to our city. I also want to recognize someone very special, my wife, Tassie, who is home with my two children this evening, who are hopefully asleep and will remain asleep, the only two people in the city of Newton I don't want to see the state of the city. I know how hard everyone works in public life, particularly here, and thank you for your service to our city. The story of Newton, Massachusetts is truly an American story. It's a place where generations of immigrants from around the world and people of different ethnic, religious, racial backgrounds and walks of life have come to take advantage of an excellent school system, safe streets, and thriving civic life. Individuals, families, and seniors from different parts of our country have migrated to a city that celebrates differences and offers opportunity for all to succeed and make a difference. We are a community that is a beacon of progress in the Commonwealth because of innovation inside and outside of government and a rich tradition of culture and the arts. It's a place where the sons and daughters of those with the least material wealth can become leaders of industry and government and even mayor. When I decided to run for mayor, I saw a city that was not going to meet the vision of a city that can continue to attract old and young families, seniors, people of all backgrounds, and offer a quality of life and the ladder of opportunity that was unique in American life. I saw a city with no long-term financial plan. Our health and compensation costs were outpacing the rate of growth, creating a structural deficit. I saw basic city services and operations that had deteriorated with no accountability standards in place. I saw a city that did not have a capital plan to sufficiently maintain our buildings, roads, and infrastructure. I saw a city that was reactive rather than proactive when it came to economic development. And I saw a city where the tone and tenor of our discourse had become poison because of lack of communication, transparency, and confidence in government. When I stood before you 2 years ago and became your mayor, I understood that if we are going to meet our full potential in the years ahead, we would have to have a laser-like focus and get our financial house in order. This would ensure we would have the resources to support excellence in our classroom and keep our community safe. Our team at City Hall has adopted an approach that influences the decisions we make every day. That governance in our city must be innovative, effective, and efficient, and inspire partnership and confidence. We must be transparent and spend every taxpayer dollar wisely. We must prioritize our most important needs, education, and public safety. And we must provide leadership and government that gives people opportunity and brings about a better quality of life for all. Tonight, I'm pleased to report that while we still have much work to do, we have made significant progress and laid an important foundation for the work ahead. Newton is on the move once again. As I mentioned at the start of my term and over the last year, we have taken a four-prong approach. Here in Newton, we have limited opportunities for economic development, but we still have made significant progress. Chestnut Hill Square was unanimously approved by the Board of Aldermen and will add immeasurably both to our tax base and to the vitality of our community. The project will also include significant traffic improvements on Route 9 because our city is taking advantage of a new innovative infrastructure program the Patrick administration developed, I-Cubed. This would not have happened if we hadn't had the great leadership in our planning department, particularly Planning Director Candace Havens, and the efforts in partnership with our Board of Aldermen. Work on Needham Street is finally moving forward as well. When I took office, prospects for development looked dim. We had no funding for the design that I believe must precede any effective development. We lobbied Massachusetts Department of Transportation to work on the roadway, and we began earnest conversations with the town of Needham. The state took notice and agreed to complete the design work at a value of nearly $500,000, and I'm optimistic that renovations will start in the near future. This year, we will work with the Board of Aldermen and the community to continue the positive progress made at Riverside, the Austin Street lot in Newtonville, and the Cypress Street parking lot, Newton Center. Each has the potential to increase the vitality and tax base of our city. We have set up a virtual and live business center that will house our streamlining efforts and permitting for those who want to start a business and those who currently own land and business in Newton so that they have access to resources inside and outside of the city and cut through red tape. In addition, thanks to the leadership of the Zoning and Planning Committee Reform Group and residents, the city has a roadmap for zoning reform that is critical for our future. I'm proud to say that because of the great work of our Inspection Service Department, led by John Lojack, Planning Offices, and Board of Aldermen, Newton is open for business. The Transportation Advisory Committee, led by citizen and expert and transportation expert Stephanie Pollack, has given our community a solid roadmap to get people out of their cars and make Newton safer, more walkable and bikeable in the coming years. Our goals cannot be met if we don't have reliable public transportation. Public transportation is critical to our success in the short and long term. I want to thank all the elected officials and community leaders that stood with me this evening at the MBTA hearing to make it crystal clear that the proposed cuts to service would be devastating to students, working people, and people with disabilities. We look forward to being at the table with the T to find other viable alternatives. Of course, we know that we can't simply grow our way to fiscal health here in Newton. So we have looked to build trust, confidence, and efficiency in government by zero-basing everything we do, challenging assumptions and old ways of doing things in order to improve service by lowering costs. As a result, we've saved the city $8 million in two budget cycles, where we found ways in city departments to save money and improve services. When I entered office, I understood clearly that the city had to keep growth in compensation and health care at 2.5%. As great of a job that we can do in finding savings and efficiency, payroll and benefits were growing at the rate of 4.4%, well beyond our revenue growth at 2.5%. This was not merely an accounting concern. It was hurting our chance to keep and retain the most qualified people and servants that we have on our streets, our buildings, and our classrooms, and eroding the opportunity for our city to address its greatest needs. That is why we all came to the table together. Our unions, CFO, Law Department, Human Resources Department, School Committee, over the course of 2 years, and made tough, honest decisions that resulted in historic agreements for school and municipal unions. Each deal caps combined growth of compensation and health insurance at 2.5%. Our new contracts will save the city $100 million over the next 5 years at the rate of $20 million on average a year as compared to the prior trend rate. This is truly a game changer and the single most important factor that will ensure the future financial stability of the city of Newton. We are the first municipality in the state of Massachusetts to structure agreements this way at the collective bargaining table. Most importantly, we successfully ensured fair deals were put in place to reflect our priorities and values in our community. With the leadership of School Committee Chair Claire Sokoloff and the school committee team, Superintendent David Flashman and his team at Newton Public Schools, city staff led by CFO Maureen Lemieux, with union leadership, made this happen. Following the stalled talks
We all watched in Washington the national debt ceiling this past summer. Moody's investors service assigned a negative outlook watch to the credit ratings of 5 states and 161 AAA bond-rated local communities, including the city of Newton. Our team at City Hall went to work with President Lennon, Chairman Gentile, Comptroller David Wilkinson, and Assessor Elizabeth Dromey. And with me, we made a strong case that because of the economic strength of major employers in the city, as well as measures taken by our administration in recent months to strengthen the city's financial position, including the establishment of our rainy day fund, successful negotiation of our collective bargaining agreements, and the establishment of the city's other post-employment benefits liability trust fund, I am pleased to announce that as a result of that conversation with Moody's and the tremendous amount of work that we've done as a city, our bond rating has been restored to AAA stable. We have made great strides in implementing performance management, building a culture of excellence throughout City Hall, thanks to the great work of budget analyst Andrew Warner and City Hall department heads and staff. This means measuring how well we perform, holding ourselves accountable to clear and compelling measures, and improving every day on everything we do. For the first time, residents can go online and see our performance in essential city services, from public safety to public works to human resources. Thanks to the work of Aaron Golden, Citizens Assistance Officer, Department of Public Works, the IT department, and the customer service team, we have made service requests for residents easier and more efficient through our 311 CityStat program and web-based system. Citizens can go online 24 hours a day to report problems in their neighborhood. Accountability measures have been put in place so that we can increase the quality of service delivery and response times. Over 10,000 requests have been submitted and resolved online since this successful program started. Our administration has dramatically reduced energy costs that will save millions of dollars in the coming years, helping to make Newton one of the greenest communities in Massachusetts. With the help of federal stimulus dollars, we converted 13 buildings from oil to gas, and by negotiating a lock-in for lower price, we stand to realize a total savings of close to $2 million over the 4-year contract. We have implemented innovative demand response system at Newton North and Newton South that will save the city $75,000 over the next 5 years. We have partnered with the state's Green Community Program that awarded the city grant money to bring down energy costs in one of our least efficient buildings, the Lower Falls Community Center. As a result, 2011 saw a 53% reduction in energy costs compared to 2008 through 2010. We are expecting reduction up to 70% when we're completed in the spring, making it a model for building energy conservation enhancements. Finally, Newton North was awarded the first LEED Gold certified school in the Commonwealth and is currently tracking close to 30% reduction in energy costs compared to the old school. All of this great work was done under the leadership of Josh Morse, our facilities manager, and sustainability manager Maciej Kamniecza, Alderman Deb Crosley, and citizens like Jonathan Kantar. Over the past year, my team, Bob Rooney, Maureen Lemieux, and Stephanie Gilman, have taken a comprehensive approach to understanding and prioritizing our needs as a city. They were aided by a revolutionary software that allowed us to systematically evaluate every physical asset the city has and rank order them on our own criteria. I'm proud to say that once again, Newton is leading the way in the Commonwealth. We're the only community that has taken such a comprehensive and systematic approach. And the work tells us what we all suspected. We have been significantly underinvesting to the tune of nearly $250 million over 5 years. but it also tells us where we must focus first. Over the next 5 years, the city will take on dozens and dozens of projects. Projects like replacing our large construction equipment and our fire trucks, all made possible by the savings we have achieved as a result of zero-based budgeting and our recently concluded union negotiations. It is clear that we must begin to rebuild our schools, starting with Anger, and continue to work on rebuilding our fire stations. They are in deplorable condition. Since I announced our capital plan in October, members of my staff, representatives from the board and school committee, have hit the ground running to refine our plans, timelines, and financial requirements, and explore funding alternatives, including obtaining commitments from the Massachusetts School Building Authority for work on the Anger School. They will report back not only to the full board and school committee, but also our residents on a quarterly basis. Finally, over the past 2 years, I have dedicated myself to governing in a way that changes the tone in which we communicate with one another in this city. That has meant reaching out to residents, all residents, not just the ones who regularly contribute. It means responding to questions openly and honestly, and most importantly, it means asking residents from every part of this city, every village, every perspective, from every demographic and every point of view, to collaboratively and civilly work with one another, and with my team and the school committee and board of aldermen to generate the best solutions to our problems and move the city we all love forward again. We have brought a new level of openness and responsiveness to all aspects of government. With the great work of Director of Community Engagement, Sarah Ecker, and now Megan Costello, we've held 24 town hall meetings, regular office hours, and encouraged development of organizations and area councils with businesses and residents to enhance the quality of life in each of our 13 villages. Last month in Newtonville, the process was jump-started when resident Tim Stone and a collection of others received a donation from Cambridge Savings Bank to make the village more attractive to residents and businesses. We've also brought a new level of energy at City Hall through our internship program, where students from Newton North, Newton South, and area colleges have made real contributions to municipal operations in the last 2 years. I'm especially grateful to my executive assistant, Pat Johnson, who's a Newton resident and brings his passion to public service every single day. Let me conclude this evening where I began, and that is the belief that this city, our city, the community that we love, that I love, is a place that has one of the best education systems in the nation, was ranked fifth safest community this last year, country, and according to CNN and Money Magazine, was ranked third best place to live in America in 2011. We know the leadership, courage, hard work that goes into making all that happen, particularly in a difficult economy. I want to take a moment to thank the hardworking men and women here at City Hall, on our roads, in our police stations, fire stations, and classrooms for doing what they do every day. Thank you. Can we give them a round of applause? Now, it would be easy to wrap ourselves in all of the accomplishments of the last 2 years. I believe we provided a strong foundation for addressing the very immediate challenges we face. With significant growth in our public schools, increased traffic on our streets, aging and neglected school and municipal buildings and infrastructure, we can and we must ensure that we face these challenges head on if we want to continue to meet our full potential. And that means continuing to spend every taxpayer dollar wisely, finding savings where we can and investing where we must. It also means engaging all of our residents about the choices we face and gaining alternative funding sources to address those challenges in the future. Starting evening of January 25th. I'm asking the community to engage in a series of community meetings to better understand our approach and the work that lies before us and to add their voice to the discussion. To tell us in effect that they understand the critical choices we face as a community if we want to preserve the way of life that we have and that they support what we're doing to get our arms around the effort. The state of our city is strong because of what we've been able to do together over the last 24 months. And I know if we do our work well, if we continue to speak openly and honestly about the needs of our city, if we continue to work hard to eliminate waste and duplication while investing in the things that make this city remarkable, then when I stand before you a year from now, we will be a city united, ready to take on projects like Angel, our school buildings, fire stations, municipal infrastructure, and invest in protecting Newton's future, confident that we have a well-honed plan for success, leading our state as a beacon of progress. God bless you, our great city, state of Massachusetts, and our country. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Mayor Warren for joining us this evening. I'd like to ask the delegation to please escort him out of the chamber. There will be a small collation in the hallway, and the board will be in a brief 10-minute recess. Thank you. We'll have our colleagues join us. If there's no objection, I was going to take a couple of these out of order. We have... I'm sorry, Madam Chair. We'll make sure everything's fixed. No problem. All right, colleagues, I'm going to take a couple of these out of order. I'm going to ask the Chair of Zoning and Planning, as soon as she's ready to, she's finished signing that, I'm going to recognize her on item number 391-11. I believe this is the appointment of Mr. Phillips. At this time, I'll recognize the Chair of Zoning and Planning.
Docket item 391-11, Thomas Phillips, 139 Algonquin Road, Newton, appointed as a member of the Zoning Board of Appeals for a term to expire on September 20th, 2014. When we took this item up, it was approved by Zoning and Planning by 7-0. Afterwards, we learned that Mr. Phillips had to do a little bit of research about whether he could assume this position based on his real everyday job. And at this point in time, he has not been able to get that information. And given the board action date of the 20th of this month, we cannot do anything but no action necessary. So I'd like to have do I need to do this for my committee first, or can we just do it by the...
No, you don't have to do it.
Okay. So to NAN this, and then the mayor can redocket it after Mr. Phillips, assuming he's able to sort things out for himself.
Okay. So the motion before us is to, you're asking to substitute NAN?
Yes, I am. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. A motion has been made and seconded to substitute NAN. This is with the understanding that Mr. Phillips is still working out some particulars to his appointment, and the instruction will be to redocket the item, so then once he works out those particulars, we can take up his appointment again. Madam Chair.
I think the mayor ought to wait to redocket it after he's sorted things out, because
right,
I don't want
exactly.
to be back here again.
Exactly, and we can relay that information. All right, we have a motion to... substitute NAN for approval with regard to item number 391-11. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. On substitution. Should I then take a vote of the item, Mr. Clerk? I can do it on a voice vote. Okay, this is
We have substituted NAN for the zoning and planning approval. NAN is now before the board. Is there, I'd ask the clerk, I'll take a voice vote on item 391-11 for a vote of NAN. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, the item is no longer before us. The next item I have is item 150-09 paren 6. This is another postponed item from the Real Property Reuse Committee. At this time, I believe I am going to recognize the chair or the former chair. The former chair of the committee. I'm going to recognize the former chair of the committee, Alderman Danberg.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. After discussing this at length during the recess, we have decided that it is worth a discussion in the Real Property Reuse Committee on the appraisal that has just come through. You all have the appraisal, the Clifford appraisal on your desks. In order to give everybody a chance to read it, look it over, digest it, what we have decided to do is have a discussion in Real Property Reuse at which we would determine what the minimum price on the property ought to be. Although there is a meeting scheduled for the 19th, day after tomorrow, because we don't have the required 48 hours notice, we cannot put it on the agenda for that meeting. So Chairman Albright has agreed to choose another date, probably next week, the week of the 23rd, during which the Real Property Reuse Committee will have a meeting at which this item will be discussed, and we will hopefully be able to come to an agreement, vote it out, and it will come back to this board on our February 6th meeting. So I would like to make a motion that we recommit.
Okay. There's been a motion made and seconded to recommit the item. Is there any discussion on recommittal? Alderman Linsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. I understand the sentiments for recommittal, and we've all gotten this document on our desks, and probably some of us have been thumbing through it during the various speeches we've had tonight, as I have. And I always appreciate that we need time to digest things. I would just say that before we go down the road of recommittal, that the issue about the minimum price has been thoroughly discussed, and it shouldn't be any misunderstanding that the Real Property Reuse Committee and others haven't discussed the issue, obviously knowing that the value of the property, even from a thumbnail sketch by the planning department of $1.5 million, would be in that range or perhaps even higher. You know, the question is really whether we ultimately proceed to accept the JAPG report, to accept the planning department report, and then to give the mayor an opportunity to formulate a request for proposals, knowing that this is really different than just the disposal of a city asset, like a building or a piece of land, where we would just want, if we made the decision to dispose of it, obviously we'd want the maximum price. And that's why the job of this board under the charter is to at least guide the mayor by setting a minimum price that we would accept. This is different. This is about the village center development. And the idea and the most important thing is to formulate something that meets the needs not merely of the village but of the entire city, which is why, process-wise, to be clear, this plan, whatever it comes out of, ultimately from the interests that are expressed from the RFP, will be coming to this board at least twice. Okay, once because we're going to have to rezone it. Right now, it's publicly used. We can't dispose of this as in its present state. Secondly, because it will require special permits. So I just want to make sure that for those people who think that we need the discussion to look at this to set a minimum price, I'm going to suggest that, at least from where I stand, that this doesn't inform that decision. It informs our later decision, okay, when it comes to the point of really figuring out what it is we want and what we measure it against the responses that we get, that this will become critically important. So I have no problem whatsoever with people feeling as we walk through this process, which has been a long one to date, hand in hand, so people feel like they are up to snuff on everything, that is fine, and we can keep to a schedule, Mr. President, of having this come before the full board again on our next meeting on the 6th. So I just wanted to speak to the issue that I don't think that people should view this as necessary to setting a minimum price. I appreciate people have different opinions about that. So I won't stand in the way of recommittal, but at least I want that stated for the record. Frankly, I'm ready to, and some others are, to move ahead and let the merit go so that we don't end up, frankly, with something that's ready to go and it's summertime and we get no responses and we have to wait even further. But we will do it right and we will do it together. And I'm at least glad that after months now of waiting for this appraisal, it's finally in.
Thank you, Alderman Linsky. And just for the record, I do appreciate the fact that we will do everything within our power to get it out by the 6th, but in my capacity, I cannot guarantee you that it will be here on the 6th. But I understand what you're saying, okay? Thank you. I have Alderman Danberg, and I have Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President.
This is on recommittal.
Yes. I'd like to thank my colleague from Ward 2, Alderman Linsky, for the points that he just made. These are points that I absolutely agree with. I have always felt that we've got enough bites at this and will have enough bites at this in the future so that we do not need to worry about making a mistake on the minimum price on this. That we know that it has to go through special permit, we have to rezone it, it's going to go to a number of different committees, and there will be ample opportunity for us to make the determination on price. However, it's been pointed out to me that if recommittal, I've offered to make the motion to recommit, and if recommittal fails tonight, procedurally, one of the members or more of the members of the committee could conceivably change their vote if they're on the winning side, change their vote, and it would then be behind the schedule that we're setting for it tonight, which would mean that we would have a meeting on the 23rd and hope to get it up on the 6th. If that happens, and if a vote is changed, it will have to go back to the committee, and it will be behind the schedule that we have now set for it. So while my desire is to move this forward, I think that this is probably procedurally the better thing to do.
Thank you, Alderman Danberg. Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to associate myself with the words of my colleague from Ward 2, Alderman Linsky. I'm disappointed that we're where we are. This is a process that started probably, I can't remember, it's 2005, 2006, where discussions of Austin Street started. And a lot of conversations, a lot of visioning, the happy group led by Phil Hare, the JPEG. So we've had lots of discussions on this. And I really would ask that this honorable board just move this forward for all the reasons that Alderman Linsky said and let the Ward 2 aldermen work together with the city and this honorable board to really find something that works well for the ward, Newtonville Square, and we have a great vision for what that might be, as well as the mayor's office, the planning department, inspectional services, whoever, all parties and all key stakeholders. We've involved constituents, we've involved business owners, and I think it's time to just move this forward, and I ask you support for not recommitting this and let this work go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Johnson. Alderman Albright.
I just want to be clear on one thing. I mean, what I would have hoped for as an outcome tonight was postponement until people had had a chance to read this, because I think when the item came through real property reuse, everybody knew that this was a valuable piece of property. So it should come as no surprise that the bottom line was what it was. But I want to be clear that it's not being sent back to real property reuse to set the price. This is not something that we can do or even that we're prepared to do. There's a lot that needs to be figured out. So it's going back to real property reuse because some of the members of the board really, really would like that to happen, to have a conversation about the appraisal, but not to set the price, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that's not the purpose of recommitting it. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on item 150-09 parent 6? It's on the motion to recommit. Can I try it on a voice vote? Alderman Crossley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I'm just a little bit confused, and I would love if someone could clarify how it is we would be behind schedule if we don't recommit this to committee tonight. How is it that we would miss a mark, we would miss the 60 days, we would miss, what would that do to us? Because I am in the same camp with Alderman Johnson and Alderman Linsky, and I believe others, who have worked together for many years to who understand the particulars of this project and why it is that this project is so important to Newtonville. So someone could explain what we're missing.
I think what Alderman Danberg was trying to convey was what I had conveyed to her at recess when we had a small sidebar, that if recommittal were to fail this evening, okay, and someone were to who was in favor of recommittal could change their vote, could then reconsider the item tomorrow, okay, and then the item would be reconsidered and back before the board on February the 6th. So then we would be losing that time between now and the 6th because we would bring it back up again on the 6th without having any discussion with regard to the item. The suggestion was made to recommit the item this evening, have a discussion in committee between now and the 6th, and report it back out on the 6th. So when she says that there could be a delay, it could be in delay because there will be no discussion on the item between now and the 6th. Does that help clear that up at all?
So may I restate that then? In any case, this item would be back before the board on February 6th.
It's not in any case, because if the item is put back into the committee, the hope would be that we could have a very knowledgeable discussion in committee, and it could be reported back out so that it would be here on the 6th. If for some reason it gets reported, it gets referred back to the committee and is held in the committee, it won't be back before us on the 6th. The hope would be that the Real Property Reuse Committee could convene, could discuss this item, could discuss the appraisal, and have it back out before the board with a favorable vote or however the committee deems it back on February the 6th. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Alderman Gentile. Then Alderman Johnson.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I hadn't planned on discussing this or speaking on this, but since people are arguing against or urging people to vote against recommittal, I guess I do need to speak. I agree with everything that Alderman Johnson said about the work that's been done and trying to create a project that is compatible with the Newtonville community. I agree with that 100%. I guess the only place where I disagree is we have waited for at least two months now to get this appraisal in order to get an idea on what the value of this property is. Our only role, or our most important role in the whole reuse process, is to set a minimum price. And in order to set a minimum price, you need to have as much information as possible. This is a valuable piece of information for us to responsibly do our job in setting the minimum price. And it just appeared on our desk tonight. I don't think we're doing our job if we don't get a chance to review this and to have an open and honest discussion in reuse as to what the minimum price should be. The value that is in this document is $2,150,000. Right now, there's a minimum price of a buck. That's a big discrepancy. We need to discuss that. And there is a greater good, and I understand why some people are looking for a much lower minimum price, but we should have that discussion, and people should explain why it should be substantially lower than the market value. That's why some of us feel pretty strongly that it should come back into reuse for one meeting. The chair is going to find a date prior to the 6th, and the plan is that we'll have the discussion, it'll be voted out, and it will come back to the committee. But our job is to set a minimum price. It's a pretty responsible job. We talk all the time about how the city needs money, and yet we're talking about setting a minimum price of a buck for a valuable city asset. No one's suggesting that the minimum price should be $2 million, but we should have a discussion about, do we really want to set it at only a dollar and give the administration that much leeway? I don't think that's the most responsible thing to do. So I would urge you to vote recommittal so that we can have an open and honest discussion about it, and it's everybody's intention to get it back here to the full board by February the 6th so the process can move forward.
Thank you, Alderman Gentile. Alderman Johnson. Alderman Johnson defers. Alderman Albright.
What I worry about is that we will not have the information that we need to set a minimum price. We don't have any idea really what the value of the 85 parking spaces is and how that impacts the developer. We don't have any idea what the impact of the extra housing units for affordable housing that have been asked for by the developer. And I worry that we'll have the meeting on the 23rd and we won't be any closer to setting the minimum price than we are tonight. Because I think that it's going to take some help from the planning department to negotiate this, to figure it out, to think about it with some knowledgeable people. And I would rather have a process established where we can work with the administration to have a say. And I understand the ordinance says that, you know, our job is to set the minimum price and then we send it away. But I wish there could be a process that we could establish with the administration to take part in the final setting of a minimum price after more details are known. I don't know if that's a possible resolution that we could come up with at our meeting that was the week of the 23rd and ask the mayor for some agreement in that in advance. I mean, is that something that's feasible that we could do this after? I'm fairly certain that we will not know any more enough information to come up with a minimum price by next week. And, you know, if I'd known that that's where we were going, I'm not sure that I would have agreed to the postponement. Is there any way, I'm asking you, Mr. President, is there any way that we could set a process in place to participate with the administration to set the minimum price?
I think it could be part of a discussion in the committee, Madam Chair. I don't think that you know, if we recommit this item as part of our process and part of the charter with regard to real property reuse, I can't sit here and definitively answer you that you could be able to set up a process that evening. I don't know that. I think that would have to be something that could be vetted further in your committee. Okay. Right now, basically, what we're talking about is recommitting this particular item to the Real Property Reuse Committee. I'd be happy to flush out some of your concerns at our meeting on Thursday, but I can't give you a definitive answer if we'll be able to develop that process on the night of the week of the 23rd. Alderman Gentile.
To the first point about the parking spaces, I'm told, though I don't know this for sure because I haven't had a chance to go through the document, that was taken into consideration in establishing the value of the property. But again, I haven't had a chance to go through it, but I'm told by several people that it was taken into consideration. As for the process, we have a reuse process. We've used it many times. We have set minimum prices a lot higher, you know, on dumps, okay? So we've done this in the past. The reuse process is clear. We have one shot. And that charter now is to set the minimum price, and then it goes on to the mayor. I understand that there are other things that are going to happen with this parcel as far as zoning, but when it comes to picking a developer and setting the price, once it leaves us, it's in the hands of the mayor. And all I'm asking that we do is to fulfill our fiduciary responsibility and to make it as informed decision as we can and to do the best that we can to set a minimum price. And I'm just suggesting now that it shouldn't necessarily be a dollar, but I'm also saying it shouldn't be $2 million. But we need to discuss it. And I am not interested in delaying this beyond February the 6th. I appreciate the desire to keep this moving forward. I appreciate what Alderman Linsky said about you don't want this dragging into the summer necessarily because who knows what you'll get for bids. All I'm saying is let's have a discussion and let's move it out.
Thank you. Alderman Santiello.
So I'm just confused. If by ordinance we're supposed to set the price, the minimum price, then we have already set it at a dollar even before we got the appraisal. And if that's the case, then what's the point of getting the appraisal if we're not going to look at it? I'm just confused by the process because I don't know if I was on the board when we had another reuse item similar to this. And I know this is a special lot, a special circumstance, and there are a lot of projects that we're hoping that we can hope that will come to fruition. But I don't know what's driving the timing of this. I mean, is there an RFP ready to go, and we're afraid that if we wait 2 weeks, that we're going to lose a window of opportunity? I just don't get it. What's the purpose of giving us this if we're not going to take a look at it?
Thank you, Alderman Santiello. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on recommittal of this item to the Real Property and Reuse Committee?
Sure.
This will be your third time, Alderman Gentile.
I just want to try and answer Alderman Santiello very quickly and in defense of the committee. What happened was at the last meeting was that the committee was made aware, and it had not been discussed in the previous meetings, that as part of the whole process, that the mayor, before he was to identify a developer and set a price, needed to get an appraisal. So once we realized that the mayor was going to have to get an appraisal, because there was some concern about the expense of an appraisal. And so once we realized that the mayor was going to have to get one anyway, why not get it now so that the board would have that information? And that kind of came at the last minute. That's how it happened. So.
Thank you, Alderman Gentile. Okay, folks, this is on recommittal. Okay, so Alderman Crossley, did you have another question? Then I'm going to recognize Alderman Albright. I said, if you have another question, I'm asking you if you would like to speak. If not, then I'm going to recognize. Okay, then I meant, would you like to speak on the item? I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I would like to say perhaps a little more strongly that we've already been down this road. It should be clear to members of the Real Property Reuse Committee and anyone from Ward 2 or other aldermen who have participated in the very long process on the Austin Street project that the value of the property is in its long-term value, not in its sale price. That the Ward 2 aldermen and that community have worked very hard to establish what it wants as amenities, and these are not things that we normally give in a special permit process. It's not mitigation for the impact of development. Rather, they are amenities that the community has decided are extremely important to it in order to help knit that neighborhood together. I'm not in favor of recommittal. I don't see value in it. This appraisal, I don't think, informs the decision that we have to make at this moment. If anything, we're aware from all the work that's been done and the Joint Advisory Planning Group work that there are far more amenities that that community would like to implement than the value of this property could compensate. So the ask to the developer is a really big ask, and I think that a fair degree of economic analysis needs to be done to sort out
just exactly the balance between the value and the ask, but that's not what we're going to be able to do in the Real Property Reuse Committee. So I will vote against this.
Thank you, Alderman Crossley. Alderman Albright, this is the, Alderman Albright, and then I'll recognize Alderman Fuller.
So I'm not sure where the talk about a dollar came from. This afternoon I read the minutes of the Real Property Reuse Committee over the course of the fall. And in September, Alderman Linsky did say something about making, he was prepared to make a motion for sale for a dollar. That is not a motion that was made or passed. In the October 25th meeting, Alderman Linsky moved approval to sell or lease the property with the city retaining 85 parking spaces and with the resolve contained in the draft board order, which I don't know what that was and I couldn't find it online, of November 7th. The motion to approve carries 601 with Alderman Gentile abstaining. There is no mention of selling this thing for a dollar. And I don't know, it was never passed as part of this motion. It was never made as a motion. It was never passed. So I'm not sure where that comes from.
Thank you, Alderman Albright. Alderman Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I listen to the discussion tonight, it becomes increasingly clear to me that that I will be voting for recommittal. It's not clear to me the decision process that was made for making the minimum price of $1. Alderman Gentile is correct when he says over $2 million sales price appraisal that was put on this includes the 85 public parking spaces, 18 residential units, 15% of which will be affordable, 5% of the lot being open space, 5,000 square feet of non-residential floor area. We do have the responsibility to set a minimum price, and it does not necessarily have to be $1, and we do not necessarily have to trade off both long-term good for an initial sales price. They can go hand in hand, potentially. I think it needs a full vetting at the reuse committee, not necessarily here on the floor. So I will be voting for recommittal. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Thank you, Alderman Fuller. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on recommittal? Seeing none, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll on item 150-09 parent 6 to recommit the item to the Real Property Reuse Committee.
Alderman Albright. Alderman Baker. Alderman Blazer.
No.
Alderman Ciccone.
Aye.
Alderman Crossley.
No.
Alderman Danberg.
Aye.
Alderman Fishman.
Aye.
Alderman Fuller.
Aye.
Alderman Gentile.
Aye.
Alderman Harney.
Aye.
Alderman Hesmahan.
Aye.
Alderman Johnson.
No.
Alderman Kalis.
Aye.
Alderman Lappin.
Aye.
Alderman Laredo.
Aye.
Alderman Linsky.
No.
Alderman Merrill.
Aye.
Alderman Rice.
Aye.
Alderman Salvucci. Alderman Santiolo. Alderman Schwartz.
Aye.
Alderman Swift.
Aye.
Alderman Yates. President Lennon.
Aye.
The vote is 17 yeas, 6 nays, with 1 absent.
The item has been recommitted. Okay. Folks, the last item before us is a late file docket item. This is item number 20-11 on page 20 of the docket. As I explained in my weekly newsletter, and there was a packet of information in your packet, this is item number 20-11. That was a late file docket item. I'm looking for a motion to suspend the rules to take up a vote of the board for a resolution. I'll read the item into the record. This is item 20-11 is on the mayor requesting the vote of the Board of Aldermen to complement by resolution the vote of the school committee to authorize the superintendent of schools to submit a statement of interest form in regard to the Massachusetts School Building Authority special initiative for 2012 for the Newton South Science Lab, which this statement of interest form is due January 31st on 2012. The mayor's office has been working for the last few weeks with regard to developing with the school department and school committee this statement of interest form to be submitted for funding to for equipment for the Newton South Science Lab. It's been my understanding that it was actually Alderman Sangiolo. No, not this one. That made them aware of this. It was a different one. Okay. But the understanding is that we only need to vote by resolution in support of them submitting the statement of interest form. The school committee is taking this up, I believe, at their meeting on next. The paperwork was completed and done by the school department. I believe the school committee is taking it up at their meeting next Monday evening. And we do not have a board meeting between now and January 31st. So what they were looking to do was to get board support in the form of a resolution that was in our packets. It was a form letter, a form resolution from the state that was, I believe, may have been cleaned up by now, Mr. Clerk. It's in the packet. And again, this is just a resolution to support the submission of this form. And the only reason why we're handling it this way is because we do not have another board meeting prior to January 31st of 2012. So what I would like to do before I recognize you, Alderman Sangiolo, is to suspend the rules to have the late file docket item before us this evening in the form of a resolution. Is there a motion to suspend the rules? The motion has been made and seconded to suspend the rules. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. The item is before us. I'll recognize Alderman Sangiolo, then I'm going to recognize Alderman Baker.
So, I had confused this program with an accelerated repair program that
I'm trying to give you credit for it.
And I didn't take it because it wasn't it wasn't proper. My real issue with it, and I'm fully supportive of this, but my real issue is constantly being told at the last minute that we have to vote something. I realize this is a form resolution and it's not a big deal, and I realize that this is one of those opportunities, if we don't act fast, we're going to regret it because there's money to be had, and we certainly have facilities that need repair. But at some point, they were scrambling to put the statement of interest together, or they were having discussions. I think it was early in January when they met with the MSPA, that they knew there was a possibility to go with this program. There was nothing, no warning to any of us that this might be a possibility. That's the kind of stuff that we need to be involved in at the outset. Again, I'm totally in favor of this, but if we're going to work hand in hand with them, and there's going to be plenty of things to work hand in hand with them, we got to work together cooperatively and be brought up to speed as soon as possible.
Alderman Sangiolo, I completely understand and respect what you're saying. As I mentioned to my colleagues, the information over the weekend was I was informed about it on Thursday, and this was basically the approach that I could assist in taking to get support for that. As I mentioned to you, that I think that they were in discussions with the MSBA starting in early January, and in trying to do that, maybe at the outset could have informed us, but I learned about it on Thursday, and this is the approach that we took. So, Alderman Baker.
I'm sympathetic to the objective, but this is one of those places where I don't think we can act tonight. The charter is pretty explicit on an action that has a substantive impact, and this does, as opposed to the purely ceremonial. So I would respectfully argue that if there is need for urgency, the only alternative I can think of is just circulate a letter, somewhat what we did for the MBTA, and let people sign onto that. But I think it's out of order for us to vote on this tonight. So I respectfully, if it's carried forward, I'm not going to challenge the chair, but I'll vote against it.
Right. My understanding, we had discussed about the piece about doing a letter. My understanding that through the state is it had to be in the form of a vote, in some sort of vote. Was that correct, Mr. Clerk? And that's the reason why we went the route of a resolution. Again, it's only to support the submission of the application. We may not get the funding through the state, but they have asked that the city of town, through the school committee and the appropriate body, this being the Board of Aldermen, vote in support of the state submission of the statement of interest form.
Mr. President, I agree with the policy. I just my understanding of the charter is that we cannot take up an item the first time it's brought before us on a substantive matter, and it's just not within our capacity to do that. It's a wise thing to do, and I would support the policy, but I don't think we can do it tonight.
I appreciate that. I think I fully vetted it with the clerk, and we're of the understanding that we can suspend the rules to take this up in the form of a resolution. We've done it once before, and I respectfully request that we do it again this evening. Just to answer your question, Alderman Johnson, I don't remember the specific item that we've done before in the past, but we have been asked to support by resolution a statement of interest form for the state. I think that's the reason why I put the language in my weekly, because some of my colleagues were trying to actually amend the language on the resolution of the statement of interest form, and I was not inclined to do that because it's not our statement of interest form, it's the state's. So I don't remember the specificity on that item, and I don't remember if we were under a time constraint, but there was such an item before us. So I'll recognize you at this time, then I'll recognize Alderman Hesperhan.
Thank you. I'd like to associate myself with the remarks by Alderman Sangiolo. We talk about having better communication between the board and the school committee, but it just seems to kind of fly back at us, and this is disappointing at best. Conceptually, I agree with what they're trying to do, absolutely. But we're constantly under fire on this thing, and I really, when I got this Friday night, which I read last night, to be very honest with you, I didn't really understand quite what this was all about. And we just went through a protracted discussion about recommitting, some stuff because of financial impact to reuse. And here we now, so I just, I'm at odds. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but my message to you, President Lennon, is to work with the chair of the school committee so we're not finding ourselves in a constant react mode. I really hope this will come to an end. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Johnson. Your message is duly noted. And, we've talked about it numerous times. I'm not going to get into the merits of it here, but Alderman Gentile. Was there someone? Sorry, Alderman Gentile. I had Alderman Hesperhan. Then I'll recognize you. Is there someone else over here?
I'll be very brief. I couldn't agree more with Alderman Johnson and Alderman Sangiolo. And if this were an isolated incident, I'd be more inclined to vote in favor of this item. Something's a sign that hangs on the wall at work. It says a lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. So I'm going to be voting against it.
Thank you, Alderman Hesperhan. Now Alderman Gentile, then Alderman Yates.
Mr. President, I stand here with heavy heart because I question the ruling of the chair on this. So that's where I have a heavy heart. But I happen to agree with Alderman Baker that this is a substantive item that we should not be taking up tonight. So I just wanted to offer a suggestion just to be safe. We have two committees that will be here on Monday night. I'm just wondering, and finance starts early and zoning and planning comes in a little bit later. I'm just wondering if maybe we could call for a special meeting. People could then get additional information. Because the other thing is, if we take this up tonight and Alderman Baker votes against it for parliamentary reasons, and Alderman Hesperhan votes against it for other reasons, and the same with Alderman Johnson, then we're going to be sending off a vote, that should be unanimous if we're really going to try and help in this regard. So my suggestion is that you consider calling for a special meeting Monday night, let people get more information if they want, and if Alderman Baker is correct, and we're taking a vote in violation of the charter, we're not going to help anything anyway. So I would suggest that that be given some consideration, again, with heavy heart.
I understand that, Mr. Chairman. This is exactly the reason why, like I said, I had vetted this item with the clerk. I'm glad to see everyone's reading all their information, but as I had said to folks, if they could please, if they had any questions between now and Tuesday evening along this lines, I would have been happy to work all of this out, but I didn't hear from anybody. I did hear from a couple colleagues about their displeasure that it was coming up at such a late item. Procedurally, I did not hear from anybody. Is there anyone? Alderman Yates.
Thank you, Mr. President. I feel equally as confused as some of the other members. However, since Alderman Baker raised the thing, I pulled out my charter. In Section 2.9, measures, in Section A, seems to state pretty clearly, no measure shall be passed finally on the date on which it is introduced, except in cases of special emergency involving the health or safety of the people or their property. That seems like that's pretty straightforward. It's a measure. I think a resolution is a measure, isn't it? Is there another definition of that? But I think the Chairman of Finance's advice is sound to try. We do have some time, and maybe you call. No, that wouldn't work. Never mind. But I'm sort of taken aback, not only that we. They were all here. Did any of them tell any of us anything about this thing that they want us to do? They didn't tell me.
No, Alderman Yates, I think what it was is that, as I mentioned to you, to the board a few minutes ago, the information was provided to me on Thursday. We got it into the packet on Friday.
No.
There was a letter from the mayor. Attached to that was a document with regard to the statement of interest form, the resolution, and some backup materials with regard to that.
No, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that where somebody asks you to accomplish something, and even if it's set up properly, and they're in your presence just before the thing is to be done, the prudent thing would be is to divvy it up by wards. The school committeeman from each ward say to the members of the board from ward so-and-so, hey, can you really be sure you get this thing done? This is why we need it. And then maybe we could ask them something. And what I would have asked was, does this not screw us up for Anger and our other applications?
No.
It doesn't. Well, okay, I went on that presumption. Why didn't we fix the science labs when we were spending all that other money on South?
Alderman Yates, I really wish I could stand here and answer those questions for you.
I
understand, but what I was going to say was I'm inclined that if people are not supportive of the resolution, that we make some sort of motion to, now that we've suspended the rules and that the item is before us as part of our docket, we could actually refer it to one of the committees and call for a special meeting between now and January 31st. I believe that's what Alderman Gentile had stated. I, for one, feel that we're doing our due diligence, but if that's how the board feels, I'm fine with that. That's fine. I had Alderman Yates. Alderman Linsky, had you next.
I was just going to speak in support of Alderman Gentile's idea. I think that's the way to resolve it. And I take it that our suspension has accomplished enabling this to be on the referral docket. Is that correct? Because it was late.
That would be correct.
It was late filed, even for it to be on the referral docket. So now, presumably, if we suspended
the rules,
now we can get it to the next specially called board meeting. I think that that's a fair way to. I appreciate the president's efforts to try to handle the situation as it has evolved.
President Emeritus is dying to say something, so I'm going to recognize him. Alderman Baker.
No, I'm not dying to say it, but I just wanted to follow up on the suggestion you were just making in honor of, in following up on Alderman Gentile. The only modification in the interest of time would be that if you're willing to call a special meeting to call and refer this item to a committee of the whole and have it taken up by that body and then voted by the board that night.
I do not believe we have the ability to do that. We amended our rules sometime in the last couple of years that we couldn't refer items directly to committee of the whole.
I know that, but you can suspend that rule.
Oh.
I mean, you can suspend the rule, but you can't suspend the charter, so I'm just trying to make it easy for you.
But I don't want to get into debate about suspending that rule. I'd rather go with the ability to refer it to a committee maybe on Monday evening. Let's just say maybe if the chairman of finance will be willing to make the motion to refer this to his committee, and we could work out the logistics between now and next week. Would that be a friendly amendment, Mr. Chairman?
That would be fine. That's fine with me.
Okay. Okay, so the motion has been made to suspend. The motion is made. Second, was there anyone else that wanted to speak on this before I clarify a bit? The motion has been made and seconded to suspend our rules to vote on this proposed resolution, but a friendly amendment was offered to have the item referred to the Finance Committee, okay? And then we'll deal with the logistics with regard to a vote in a special meeting before January 31st, if that's amenable to my colleagues. Is there any discussion on the friendly amendment on the referral to the Finance Committee? Seeing none, can I try this on a voice vote? All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. The item has been referred to Finance. Okay. Just so before everyone leaves, we did have a letter circulating earlier tonight with regard to the MBTA cuts, a letter that was developed. Most of the language of the letter was developed by the executive office. We did take that letter. We added on a sort of a concluding paragraph. And thank you to Alderman Baker for the suggestion and for Alderman Fuller for developing the graph that was attached to that to show the impact of those cuts. Has everyone signed the letter on behalf of the board? And there was one typo, I believe, in there that we will modify, and we will get that letter off to Secretary Davey of the MBTA on behalf of the entire Board of Aldermen. Is there any other business before us this evening? Alderman Sangiolo.
I wanted to wish everybody a happy Chinese New Year's if we don't.
Oh, excellent. How do you say that in Chinese?
I refer to Alderman Swiston because my Chinese is very poor.
Alderman Swiston. I'm not going to try to repeat that. So. But happy New Year to everyone. Okay. Seeing no other business before the board this evening, I'll recognize Alderman Linsky.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We are adjourned at 9:45.